Anyways, Lord bless you. This is going to go to podcast as well. Give me one second here. Well, I've got some important things to share today, and my picture doesn't look right, though. It's a little blurry today. I think I've got something on my camera. Is all I can figure out. And I can't get up and leave because I'm doing a live program. So anyways, see if it's going to look a little foggy here. Yeah, it's fine. All right, that's fine. Well, God bless you all. I really want to share something, and I hope that you guys are able to gain knowledge and insight from it. Sorry that I'm looking around. My camera looks a little blurry. Okay, hold on. Let's see if I can clean my camera up. Let me look at this camera real quickly. I might have to take off. Where is my camera? There it is, right there. Well, there, it's better, maybe. Okay, that's better. All right. Sorry, you guys. Wow. That's what happens when you have a live program. Okay. Let's get to the narrative. If you're like me, you've struggled in life to comprehend and to grasp what am I? How am I supposed to live? How do you gain victory? And I don't believe that everybody is defeated because they desire to be. But I want to tell you something. If you're capable of putting down imaginations and thoughts and ideas that are going to block what I say, if you're capable of getting rid of the lenses and the filters that you put up to protect yourself for survival and willing to have real humility and listen, then I can tell you some things about how to live and not just survive, but to thrive spiritually. And I know that sounds, it's a little mysterious what I'm saying, but I'm telling you that as a Christian, the idea that you're constantly fighting, and this is a big part of Christianity, is that there's teaching that, and it's true in a sense, that we will constantly be having opposition and constantly be fighting. But are we always fighting and never conquering? Are we always fighting and not subduing? At what point do we stop fighting and we enter into the promised land? At what point do we stop fighting the giants and we cut their head off and we put our foot on their neck and then we go take their gold and their silver and their land and we begin to build trenches and build houses on it? At what time do we stop surviving and stop fighting and enter in to what God has for us? I mean, there's otherwise this is going to be very... It's going to be a long 40 years in the desert, and it's going to be very energy sapping, and you're going to get very tired, and you'll get discouraged, okay? Now, there's a certain portion of truth that you will be fighting as long as you're on this earth, because this earth is not perfect, and there is opposition from the devil. But God wants us to go from fighting to breaking the devil's neck, and to entering in. And I want to explain some things that people don't understand. And so the first thing I wrote here was, what am I? What am I? And I've shared this before, but I'm going to share it again quickly for you all. And then I'm going to go ahead and show you how this understanding can and will segue you into conquering, not fighting, taking the supplies of the enemy. Okay. So if we're going from fighting and survival to thriving and reigning. Okay. And we've got to do that at some point. Okay. We've got to do that at some point. It's not all done in a day, but if it doesn't, if we don't ever start with that, we'll never get there. Pardon me, gotta loosen things up here. My belt's too tight. Okay, so what am I? Well, that's first and foremost is important to understand. And as I shared before, whenever I had an experience with the Lord, which was not a vision or a dream, I'm gonna go through it quickly, briefly. At one point, the Lord took me and showed me hell. And that at the point that Jesus walked to the room, he said, come with me. When he said that, my spirit with my soul, my mind, will, and my emotions, they left my body. I saw my body now sitting on the couch. Okay. The real me, who is my spirit, my mind, will, and emotions, left my body. Two different things. Okay. The body is not you. So I left it. Okay. The real me went to hell. I was conscious. I had a will. I cried out at the end. I said, Creator of heaven and earth, have mercy upon me. Okay, so I had a will, I had a conscience, I had emotions, I could feel the terror of being in hell, right? All of these things happen. So this is not talking about something in theory, this is what I actually experienced. This was not a vision, by the way, this was not a dream. I saw Jesus walk through the door, and I had a visitation from the Lord. And I'm not going to get into that visitation right now from the Lord. But I learned certain things. There are certain things you can learn if you observe those things. See, if you pay attention to them, okay? I knew that the container, that what was left on the couch was a container, that most people looked at the container and thought, that's John. But that John had actually left, that's my name, and that I had actually left the house. I was gone. And my consciousness, which is my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions, my spirit, they left. So they're separate. That's important to understand. So this comes back to the paradigm, which is essential to understand, that you are a spirit wrapped in a soul living in a body. You're not a human having a spiritual experience, but you're a spirit having a human experience. And this paradigm must shift in order for you to ever subdue, to ever conquer, for you to go from surviving and fighting to thriving and reigning, okay? And that's got to happen at some point if you're to understand this. Because if you come from the paradigm that you're a human, okay, and that's your perception, how you look at this world, okay? Okay, if that's your perception of life, then you can say you're a victim. You're just a blob of flesh, and you're a victim, okay? But if you realize that your body is not who you are, but your spirit, then you're not a victim. Because the reality is, this is an important thing to understand, that you are a free will agent. And I'm going to go to a scripture. Let's get the Bible involved in this. Okay. Let's go to Mark 12. Okay. Mark 12, verse 30. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Okay. This is something God asks of you, and he asks of me. Now, first, God never asks us to do something we're incapable of doing, or does he ever ask us to do something that is unreasonable? The word soul is the word psuche, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, okay? The Holy Spirit is not your GPS system. The Holy Spirit is not your navigation system. Your navigation system is your soul. That's right, okay? You are a spirit, but your soul makes a decision, that is your will, makes a decision. Are you going to do what the Spirit of God says or what the Word of God says? And Jesus said, to make it simple, you know, we want to take the cookies and put them on the lower shelf where the kiddies can get them. Okay. If God says, and Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and their life. Do you want to walk in the spirit? Then walk in what the word of God says. Okay. That's right. So again, just in simple ways that James taught wisdom in chapter 4, verse 17, he says to him that knows to do good, doesn't do it, it's evil. Okay. So it's important, all of this. So as we look at the scripture here, Jesus is saying, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. That is the first commandment. Now, he's repeating, in a sense, twice, and that does happen in the Greek and in the Hebrew, because your soul literally is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's literally what it means. Now, understanding this is essential, but understand something. He said that it's the first commandment. In other words, the commandments of God aren't going to happen without your will involved, without your mind involved, okay, without your emotions involved. There's going to have to be a participation. And you're the one, as a free will agent, and your strongest part of who you are is your will. So you're not going to obey God without voluntarily taking your will and subjecting it to God. Okay, so as long as you think that things just happen by a happenstance or by coincidence or just randomly, you're going to live in a world that is chaos. Okay, because reigning is not living random. Reigning and thriving is not just whatever happens, whatever may be, will be, c'est la vie. No, it's actually when you take responsibility for your actions and then you go ahead and do what's right. That's when you go from surviving and fighting to thriving and reigning. Okay. Now, whenever the Lord revealed to me that the strongest part of a human being is their will, it made me both depressed and happy. You say, well, there's a duality there. Well, it was going on, brother. I was both depressed and happy because I realized that I could not blame my father or my you know, the areas that I grew up in. I couldn't blame the financial structure from which I came. I couldn't blame my DNA. I couldn't blame the teachers. I couldn't blame anybody for any mistakes that I had ever made. That I was the sum total of my own choices. And that discouraged me because as a human being, I've made many and plenty of mistakes. Okay. And still do. Okay. But I had to accept that I was the response. Listen, I had bad things happen to me just like you have. But actually, some people have had the same bad things happen to them as I have, and they made different decisions. So the options were there for both people. We just made wrong choices. It's a fact. You know, I'm a survivor of many radical things that I won't even get discussing here in this program. Okay, it's a fact. But I made some bad choices because I felt that the bad things that happened to me in my life gave me the rationale that I was entitled to make bad decisions because bad things had happened to me. And after all, it wasn't my fault that these bad things happened to me. They just happened to me. And so therefore I played the victim card and I lived in survival. But at some point, you got to understand that you're the sum total of your choices because God has created you a free will person. That's what it means to have a soul. It means you have a will. Somebody might have lied about you, but you didn't have to get angry at them. Somebody might have abused you, but it didn't mean you had to become bitter with other people. You might have been exposed to certain sins, but it didn't mean you had to be an addict. It's not true. I know you have built your whole life with high imaginations to fortify you in the castle that you're living in. But the Bible says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of every thought that exalts itself. He said, pulling down every stronghold, casting down every thought, every imagination. And literally in the Greek, it's calculation. Okay. Casting down every thought, every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This is the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So, I'm going to go to a couple of these passages, and this is what the Lord wants me to do. I'm going to do it. Proverbs, if you beat your child, he shall not die. You'll save his soul from hell. Okay. Now, see, when I say you're a soul, I want to prove this to you, and I want you to understand this. And I know that I've shared this with you, but you understand that when you understand this, okay, I know that you're thinking, John, I agree with you. I've listened to your program. My will is the strongest thing, but I'm not able to do it. Listen, I'm not talking about ending up perfect in a day, okay? What I'm telling is you've got to start off on the ground that your will has brought you where you are today. If you want to deny that, you want to say, well, I was sexually assaulted. I grew up in a ghetto. And so you can just continue that narrative on for now and forever. Okay. You can continue that. I give you permission to stay with that narrative until you're 90 years old, that you were physically or sexually abused, that you grew up in a barrio, that you were, you know, lied about or whatever. You can stay there forever. Okay. Or you can choose to say, no, not any longer. I'm not going to survive any longer. I'm going to thrive. Okay. See, this is a valley of decision moment. You got to make a choice. Okay. I've suffered. In fact, I've suffered every single thing that I just said, I suffered from in my life, but I'm not a survivor. I've gone from surviving and fighting to thriving and reigning. Okay. Because I took responsibility for my actions. Because when I realized that I'm a free will agent, then I realized I couldn't blame my father, who was an ex-con, who spent time in, I think, in Folsom and Sing Sing, old prisons, okay, for strong arm robbery. Okay. I grew up in a home of alcoholics, okay, drug use, okay. My father was at one point made very good money. For much of his life he did. But my parents separated because of the violence that had been in the house. I also was sexually assaulted. A lot of and these are just some of the things. This is not everything I went through. There's a lot of stuff I won't even talk about. Okay, but here I am. I'm not drooling with some, you know, straight jacket in some little cell. I'm not surviving. I'm thriving and I'm reigning. And I've gone from the point of fighting to entering in. But the reality is, I had lived a portion of my life always feeling I was a victim. And therefore, I didn't have to take responsibility for bad decisions that I made myself. I could blame my father. I could blame that my mother separated from my father that made good money. And then we lived in barrios and poverty, okay? And I could blame that. I could blame it on my mom that was promiscuous. I could blame everything on someone else. And I did. And it gave me an excuse for myself. But when I came to the Word of God, I still did the same thing, actually, until the Lord gave me more visions and understanding. I didn't understand, and we're all growing. So in Proverbs 23, this is important, and I'm going to get back to the main scripture. I'm not going to jump around a lot today. If you're thinking I am, you're wrong. We're going to talk very little on a lot of scriptures. We're just going to get in depth, okay, here. Because if you listen to this, you follow this program long enough, you're going to be free. I guarantee you that. 100%. Because what I'm going to teach is the Word of God. Now, in chapter 23, okay, what does it say? Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Now let's go to verse 13 there above of Proverbs 23:13. Withhold not correction from your child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou wilt beat him with the rod, and thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. Deliver his soul from hell. So your soul can go to hell. Your soul, hell is fire. There's demons there too, but hell is fire. So, okay, your soul, that is the body that you live in, can't go there because fire wipes everything out. And obviously this is a spiritual fire because it's eternal, right? Okay. And it says that his soul's in hell, but what does your soul mean in the Hebrew? It's your mind, your will, and your emotions. So you'll be conscious. Whoever's in hell will be conscious. I don't want to say you because I don't want to prophesy over that, but whosoever's in hell will be conscious. They will be able to think. They will be able to will. And they will be able to feel their emotions, a spectrum of emotions, and even sensations, because they'll have a spiritual body. Your spirit does have a body. I've seen my spirit body because my spirit body actually left this body when Jesus said, come with me, and I was brought into hell. I saw it. So I realized that this, I knew that the thing that was on the couch wasn't who I am. It doesn't represent who I am. My spirit left this. This is just a casing. This is just a shelter, just a room. That's all it is. The real me left. We separated one another. Okay. And the real who I was went into hell. And I was a soul. So we see the soul is what? We see this biblically, that the soul is who you really are. You think, that's your soul that's thinking. You feel, that's your soul that's feeling good, feeling bad. You get up and pour yourself a cup of coffee, that's your will that produces actions. That's what you are. That is who you are. So what am I? You're a spirit wrapped in a soul living in a body. That's who you are. Okay, that's who you'll always be. Whether you go to heaven or hell, that'll never change. Now, this reality that the will is the strongest part of the human being, which is a part of the soul, when I got that reality, it made me depressed. But it also made me happy at the same time, because then I said, wow, I can't blame anybody on anything. And I realized that. And that's kind of a discouraging thing, because if you say stupid things, if you do stupid things, if you don't take responsibility, if you react to something and then say, it's not your fault, it's not my fault because you said this, it's not my fault because you did this, and if you hadn't hurt me, I wouldn't have reacted this way. See, everything is pushing it off to somebody else, and you are the victim that is not living but surviving. And so that reality is that from the Word of God, it says having our minds renewed, where it talks about the will, and then the Lord gave me the revelation in the spirit that my will was my strongest part of who I am, and it's eternal. So we see the soul's going to go to hell, and that scripture I just gave you, and if we get the Bible involved, okay, in Proverbs 23, 13, and 14, okay, he said, if you discipline your son, you'll save his soul from hell. So it goes to hell, not your physical body. Your soul does, your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's the real you, okay? It's not some esoteric thing. We got to remove it from being a mystery to understanding. It's just you. That's who you are, okay? And again, you're not a human having a spiritual experience, but you're a spirit having a human experience, and that's who you are. You got to understand that. So then I was happy also because I realized I could change things, because I realized I'm the sum total of my choices. That's a little difficult. See, God would not be just to send people to hell if they were not responsible for not going to heaven. So people that go to hell get there because they're responsible. That's the Bible says. That's why it says every person's mouth will be shut on the day of judgment. And nobody will be with that excuse. How can that be right and just? Well, because you're a free will agent. You make your choices, then your choices make you. That's a tough thing, but it's reality. And if you don't start there, then you won't start anywhere. Because that's the only place that you can start. And you can start today. You can start today to taking responsibility for your life. In fact, I want to tell you something right now. I'm going to have a pin right here. Oh, I got one here. tell you something right now that you should, if you want to do something, you're going to have a day planner. You say, really? Yeah. Spiritually or in this world. Now let's talk about this. Okay. So we got the physicality. The physicality is that you have a soul that's mind, will, and emotions, but you live in a body. And the body is this physicality. It's not who you are. It's just a tent. And it'll never get saved. So which means as long as you're on this earth, nobody can pray a prayer for you and say, I cast out this demon, and then all of a sudden you never are tempted again. That's unbiblical. Okay? It's not biblical. Okay, it's not biblical, because the reality is temptation has to do with your body. It generates temptation. That's what the Bible teaches. I write that. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not God the Father, the Holy Spirit. That the Bible was written by God the Father and the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, okay, that you live in a body. And the Bible says it's the flesh that makes you tempted. It doesn't say it's a demon. Okay. Your flesh. If you didn't have flesh and you were in your spirit, you would not be capable of being tempted, because your spirit's completely saved and perfect. That's why when you do wrong, there's a part of your mind saying, I should not be doing that. Why? Because it's your spirit. So when you're all of a sudden say, blah, 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 you hear, it's like you come out of your body almost and you see yourself as a third person. You're like, you're saying something stupid, and you're disconnected, and you're like, you shouldn't say that. That's stupid. What is that? That's because your spirit man is not your flesh. Okay. And you need to reel it in, and you need to subject it. Okay. I'm just being honest and truthful. So you're going to live with this physicality. That is, you're going to live in this body, and the Bible says that you've got to mortify the deeds of the flesh, body, deeds of the flesh, anger, deeds of the flesh, okay, lust, deeds of the flesh, boasting, deeds of the flesh. All those things are deeds of the flesh. Is that biblical, what I'm saying? Well, Galatians, and I'm not going to go preaching and do a bunch of expository stuff here. I'm going to take my wife to the doctors today, okay? So Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Okay, what does Paul the Apostle say? He says this. Now, by the way, Paul the Apostle was the apostle to the Gentiles. He never spoke of inner healing in any of his letters. He never spoke of deliverance, casting devils out of people, in any of his letters. But what he did say, actually, which is interesting, which he did say, he says he's an apostle to the Gentiles. And by the way, you're a Gentile if you're watching this program. Okay. You may be Jewish, but the reality is, here's what the word says in Galatians 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery. Well, some people say that's a spirit of adultery. Fornication. Some people say that's a spirit of fornication. Okay, uncleanness. Some people say that's a spirit of uncleanness. Lasciviousness. Some people say that's a spirit of lasciviousness. Idolatry, some people say that's a spirit of idolatry. Witchcraft, some people say that's a spirit of witchcraft. Hatred, some people say that's a spirit of hatred. Variances, emulation, wrath, that they think they got a spirit of wrath. No, this is a work of the flesh. Then it goes on to strife, envy, murder, drunkenness. You got a spirit of drunkenness. No, it's actually a work of the flesh. That's actually true. That's what the Bible says. It's the work of the flesh. Why? Because the devil, the demons, are disembodied spirits. They can do nothing in the earth realm because they have no body. They have no physicality. So they are incapable of doing anything. They need people to come into agreement with them that then take their will, and the will is that which executes action. Without a will, you don't have action. Okay? So the will executes action. And so these are called the works of the flesh. Yes, the devil tempts you, and he tempts you in your body. The Bible says that. Okay? And the devil has two definitions of his name: accuser and tempter. So yes, the devil tempts you, but the Bible tells us we don't have to listen to him. Okay? All right. Okay. So you're going to want to write down Proverbs 23, 13, and 14, which shows you that the soul is eternal because hell is eternal. And that shows you that the soul is immaterial. So the soul is spiritual. Most people don't realize that. It is not corporeal or temporal. If it was corporeal or temporal, it couldn't live forever. Okay? So it's spiritual because the only thing that lasts forever is spiritual. Heaven and earth will pass away, and all things will be subject to the second law of thermodynamics, entropy. Everything will fall, will separate and decay and fall apart, except for that which is supernatural. And the Bible says that there is a natural body, and it says that, and it says in 1 Corinthians 15, it says that, our natural body was sown in weakness and corruption. That's why you're tempted. See, you didn't get saved. Your spirit got saved. That's why the Bible says we're to take up our cross daily and mortify our flesh. That's right. Okay. And so he talks about, he's how the flesh was sown in corruption and in weakness. Okay. That is from Corinthians 15, starting in verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. He's talking about when the Lord comes back. So your body was sown in corruption. That's why you have corrupt desires. That's what that's about. But that's your body. That's not who you are. If you don't follow those things, then you're called mortifying those. You're not giving them expression, making them the works of the flesh. Okay? Giving them expression makes something the works of the flesh. Just 1 second. Okay. Giving them expression makes them the works of the flesh. Okay. So let's look at another. Okay. Scriptures. Hold on 1 second here. I've got my Bible on this other one now. I've got this all dialed in. I'm going to go to Revelations real quickly. So if you have a Bible, and you should have a Bible, by the way, that you can follow this program with, because a lot of times I dive into scriptures and you will learn nothing without the Bible. Okay. So let's go look at some scriptures, cases and points, get the Bible involved in this teaching. Okay. So Revelations 6:9. When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Okay. So these souls were where? They were in heaven. Now let's go back to this scripture here we're reading about. And then I want to keep on going back to Corinthians here for a second. So keep your place or not, but you can listen to the video later. Your victory is necessary. You need to know the word before you're going to have that victory. So he says in First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42. I might've said something different. Sometimes I do. Sorry for that. Trying to, you know, do so many things, chew gum, bicycle ride, and listen to the radio at the same time. But anyways, so 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. He's talking about your body there. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. So your body was sown in corruption and dishonor. Okay. Didn't get saved, people. It was sown in weakness. It was raised in power. It was sown a natural body, just in case you're wondering about what he's talking. You can circle that in 44. It says it was sown a natural body. Okay, he's talking about your body now. It was raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Okay, now go to verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit in corruption. So your body is not going to go to heaven. Why? Because it's not who you are. It's where you live. Okay? It's not who you are. It's where you live. Okay? hold on one second here. It is not who you are, it's where you live, your body. Okay, it's not who you are, it's where you live. That's your body. Okay. So here in Revelations, we see this. We see again here, okay, in Revelations. Okay, hold on. So, Revelations 20, I'm going to get the Bible involved in this. Verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the soul of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Remember, the word witness means martyr in the Greek. Okay, for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshiped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands. And they all lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That's the new millennium they're talking about. But okay. But again, so we see that these souls, and I saw the thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that had been beheaded for the witness of Jesus. So he's saying, look at these souls are in heaven. So the soul again, because heaven's eternal. The soul again is what? It's immortal or eternal, and it's immaterial. So it's spiritual. It's spiritual. Because anything that lives forever has to be spiritual. It's spiritual and spiritual and eternal. Okay, that's the real you. Okay, understand that that's the real you. Okay, we read there in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verse 50. This I say, brethren, this is what I say, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, so you got to understand that. So your soul is the real you. So you got to understand that. So you, through study of the word of God, through discipline, which is takes your will to discipline yourself. Let's go look at some scriptures here also. Okay, let's look at some scriptures here. Hold on one second. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So Matthew 16:24, Jesus said this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whosoever wants to be my disciple. Now, the disciples are going to heaven. People that just get born again and go live like the devil, they're not going to heaven. I know people don't like to say that, hear that, but it's true. So there is a difference between what is called a Christian and a disciple, okay? Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, now these are people that were doing what they were following Jesus. And then Jesus said to his disciples, whosoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me, okay? Now these were people who were following Jesus, but he was saying like, look at, you know, some of them might have needed to tighten some things up. He's saying, okay, you're going to really want to be my disciple. You're calling yourself my disciple. Okay. But he says, then Jesus said to disciple, whosoever wants to be my disciple. Okay. This had ramification on several levels, but what must you do to be a disciple? You must deny yourself. Self there, the word self there is actually the word psuche, which is the Greek word for soul, mind, will, and emotions. Okay. He says you're going to have to deny your real self. So Christianity is not narcissistic, because what Christianity is for many is getting whatever yourself wants. It's all about serving yourself. This is not Christianity. This is opposed to Christianity. Jesus said this right here. Whosoever wants to be my disciple must deny his soul, his mind, will, and emotions, take up his cross. That's putting to death your flesh. Because anyone who picked up a cross in Rome was going to die on it. Okay? So you take up your cross daily. You crucify your flesh. That's what the word of God says. Okay? And follow me. Okay. Colossians 3. If you go to Colossians 3, okay. Colossians 3. Okay, just one second as we get Colossians 3. I think it's right after Philippians. There it is, Colossians 3. Verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things on earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall also appear with him. Is Christ your life? You know, sometimes people, you go to church and all they talk about is their Hemi or their house or whatever, right? But Paul said, when Christ, who is our life, appears. Is Christ your life? That you should be able to say, Christ is my life. I mean, I think of Christ, I talk of Christ, Christ is my motivation, Christ is my inspiration, Christ is my revelation. Christ is everything that I am, everything that I want, everything that I want to become, everything that I'm pursuing, Christ. Is that the truth for you? When Christ, who is our life, appears, then we shall appear with him. Mortify, this is the word, put to death, crucify. Crucify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Okay, it says, you got to take up your cross. You got to kill this stuff. Okay, you got to put it to death. So this is where things get done. They get done through the soul. For every action, there must be an equal reaction. Okay, an object at rest will stay at rest. Listen, it's called cause and effect. The causality of action is your will. Okay? Your will produces action. Nothing happens in your spiritual life unless you do something. You got to pick up your Bible and read it. You got to meditate on the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter, what is it? Chapter 9, verse 28. Paul said, I beat my body and I bring it under subjection. I subdue it. Lest after I preach to others, I myself am a castaway. By the way, the Greek word there is the same word that is used in Romans for reprobate, which means a person that is to a point they can no longer repent. Literally, that's what the word reprobate means. That's the etymology of the word, is that a person gets to a point that they can no longer turn away from sin. That's right. That's the scary thing, but that's what it says. And Paul says, I beat my body and I bring it under subjection, lest I, after I preach to others, I myself am, it says disqualified in the King James. But if you do a study of that word, it comes from the etymology of the word reprobate. That's where it comes from. It's the word reprobate. Lest I preach Christ and split hell wide open. He says, this is what he said. He said, I beat my body. You guess what? Are you doing that? I have to beat my body. I can't live after this. It's not the real me. Okay? No, I can't. I have to beat my body, as Paul said. Are you? Paul said it. You're better than Paul the Apostle? He said, I beat my body and I bring it under subjection. You're going to have to subdue your flesh. Lest after I preach to others, I myself am disqualified, or literally what it says in the Greek, is a reprobate. Interesting. Very interesting, isn't that? Yes, it is. Okay. So this is where we get things done. So that's when I got this revelation. I was honestly depressed and happy at the same time. I understood that I could not blame anybody for mistakes that I had made in my life, which was very discouraging, because it is comforting to one's flesh and to their emotions to be able to accuse someone else or pass the buck. It is a heavy revelation to take the red pill and not the blue pill and take responsibility, okay? It's very difficult to do, but I did it and I'm doing it. In fact, that's how you listen. Anybody who's ever had an addiction, that's how you overcome an addiction. You have to face it. You have to look at it. You can't hide from it. You can't run from it. Right. That's how you deal with life. Okay. You can't hide from it. You can't run from it. You can't put somebody else, you know, put all the responsibility on somebody else. You got to take it on yourself. That's what it means to grow up. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away foolish things, right? That's the scripture. You got to put away this victim mentality and this idea that you'll always, you're going to always fight in this world, but that's just because there's going to be a certain amount of friction here in this earth because of the devil. He's not going to go away. It's not going to stop attacking Christians, or the flesh. It's not going away. You're going to be living in it. So a certain amount of that, but you've got to go from always living and fighting and never possessing. You got to go from just surviving to thriving and reigning. And the only way you can do that is by taking responsibility for your actions. Okay. It's and see, so at the same time, that's discouraging a little, but it's very hopeful. In fact, it really is the brightest, brilliant day you've ever seen. Because now that you know this, you can change your direction. You can stop going in the direction of wrong. But listen, again, if you don't plan to fail to plan is to plan to fail. To fail to plan is to plan to fail. Okay? So you've got to understand that. All right? So that's why I say, listen, I've owned businesses, I pastored in eight different churches. Listen, if you don't plan, you plan to fail. So even in your spiritual life, if you don't write down, because your will cannot operate, your will cannot operate without knowledge, okay? Your will cannot operate without knowledge, and your plan is knowledge, okay? So your will has to make a decision, right? And the will always operates on knowledge. It may be the knowledge of good and evil. It may be that your will operates and you do evil, but that's still the knowledge of evil. Or your will operates on the knowledge of good, and that's good. See? So you have to have knowledge in order to have action with your will. Okay? You've got to do something. Okay? So you've got to accept that you are the sum total of your choices. That's knowledge. It might be heavy on you right now as I tell you this. And like me, you might get a little embarrassed or feel a little shame there. But that's just the devil. Move on. But accept it. You are where you are because of the things you've thought, said, and done. That is a fact. God is just when he judges people. He's not unjust. And nobody will be without excuse on the day of judgment. Why? Because he created us. Whether you like it or not, you were created as a soul. You are a soul. I know you didn't understand it, but it's the truth. That's who you are. See, wisdom is not to mystify. Mystify means to make things complex or convoluted or hard to understand, almost like esoteric or something. No, wisdom is to simplify, okay, to unravel, revelation, to unravel, to open up the scroll, to reveal what is hidden, to make it clear, okay? So understand, I'm making this simple, okay? But this is where you got to start. And it's very hopeful for you. Why? Because now you can start doing things to change. I'm going to say also, repentance is not just crying. People can work themselves up where they can cry. They feel bad that they've sinned because they know that sin will lead you to hell, or they feel bad that they sinned because they feel like a failure because they've sinned. But they don't feel bad because they hurt God, and they can cry thinking they feel bad because they hurt God, but really they feel bad because they hurt themselves. So getting too focused on just crying is a form of repentance. Be careful about that. See, because the scripture where it says Esau sought repentance carefully with tears. Okay. In other words, he had it down to a theorem or a theory or a recipe to be followed. Repentance is deeper than that. That's very superficial. Repentance has to do with taking ownership for what you've done. David talks about repentance in Psalms 51. He says, Lord, I have sinned against you, God. Okay. I. You know, not somebody else, me. Okay? Sin is personal. Sin is personal. Okay? That's important to understand. But honestly, knowing this, you can begin to do what's necessary. You can start making decisions. You can start writing down. Because repentance is, listen, repentance, when you have the fear of the Lord, understand, if you don't walk in righteousness, you won't enter the kingdom of God. That's called the fear of the Lord, by the way. And I know so many people out there lie and say that the fear of the Lord just means reverence and awe. Stop lying, okay? Stop lying. That's not true. I've studied Hebrew and Greek. I taught at an accredited school, and I have my doctorate in theology, okay? I've got books here and back here. I've got interlinear Bibles. That means straight Greek and Hebrew Bibles. I've got Strong's Concordance. It's not with the Vine, which is not a dictionary at all. And I've got Strong's Concordances of the Hebrew and Greek. I've got the 26 translation Bible with 26 translations. Listen, in the Greek and the Hebrew, the word to fear the Lord has to do, literally it says, it means to tremble, to shake, to have your knees smote. It means to be in terror and dread. And it means to, and it also means to reverence. But it is not reverence. Just the word reverence, that's a lie. As a teacher of the Greek and the Hebrew, that is a lie. People want to avoid that. So listen, reality is fear the Lord and depart from evil. You have to do that. And why does it say that? Because you are a soul. God doesn't need to flee from sin, you do. God doesn't need to resist the devil, you do. So you have to do that. You've got to exercise your will to resist sin and the devil. And there's three things the devil is doing. He's fighting, he's planning, or he's fleeing, okay? And so as you look at that, okay, the devil's not lazy. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Says that the devil, it says your enemy is what it says was that the exact scripture though? I think it might be. Yeah, oh, it is that. That's it. Okay, so let me quote it exactly. I believe I can quote that correctly. That's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It says, your enemy, your adversary, the devil, goes about to and fro, here and there, okay, up and down, to and fro. That's what it means. It says he goes about seeking whom he may devour. Whom he may devour. Are you edible? Okay. But what does it say there? The devil, your enemy, is present tense going about looking for people he can attack. So the devil is not sleeping. The devil is active. He's diligent. So if you're lazy in your spiritual life, your butt's going to get kicked. That's just a fact. You cannot be a lazy person. To be a disciple of Christ, you've got to deny yourself. Laziness is a work of the flesh. I think it's 1 Timothy. He said, chapter 1, verse 7, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. The Greek word there, sound mind, means a mind of discipline. In Galatians 5, I forget what verse it is, but talks about lower, I think it's like maybe 21, it says that now the fruits of the Spirit, and one of the fruits of the Spirit says self-control, discipline, okay? So if you're lazy, that's not good, because the devil, he's doing three things. He's attacking, he's planning, which is what 1 Peter 5, 8 teaches us. He's planning, okay? Or he's fleeing. And I'm talking about how are we going to get him to flee. How are we going to get the devil to flee? Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Okay, James 4 gives us the actual theorem, the actual recipe, the actual pattern to how to deal with the devil. He says, submit yourself to God. Okay, the Bible says not to lie, so don't lie. That's submitting yourself to God. You're subjugating yourself to God. You're submitting yourself to God, okay? So submit yourself to God. You wanna boast? Resist that temptation. That is submitting yourself to God. See, if there is a law and you break it, that's called rebellion. If there is a law and you obey it, that's called submission. And since there is a God and he is the only true God, he has told us what to do and not to do. When we do what he says, that's submitting. When we don't, that's rebelling. That's right. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. He will. Doesn't mean he'll flee automatically, though. Sometimes you've got to stand your ground for a while, okay? Because you've got to build up a history with the devil. You go, what? You have to build up a history with the devil. Mm-hmm. He knows if you're double-minded or a flake. Once you've trained the devil, and you can train the devil, once you've trained the devil, and he knows that you're not playing around, then he will go plan. He'll go to planning. He's going to say, this is ineffective on this fort. This is not working. This brother, this sister does not compromise. There's no duplicity in them. They are resolute, and they will flee. But then they go to planning. And on this earth, the devil's going to be here. He's always in a planning, and that's going to happen. So you have to be, and he says this, my brothers, be vigilant. First, he says, be vigilant and sober. Why? Because the devil is not lazy, so you can't. And that's actually in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. He says, be vigilant and sober. Don't be living in a fantasy. The devil is either attacking, fleeing, or planning. Be sober. That's the truth. Okay. And the Bible doesn't say he's going on a vacation. If you think he went on a vacation, no, he fleed because you resisted him and now he's in planning. So that's why you got to be walking with your full armor on, which is an allegory of walking in the Word of God. Okay. So you got to understand. So he says, be vigilant, be sober, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goes to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. He's in the planning stages, okay? So the devil's either attacking, planning, or fleeing. And so we have to practice this kind of stuff on a day-to-day basis. This is how we live the spiritual life. And we have to understand that don't be so impressed by your crying and your tears. Faith without works is dead. You need to be focused on changing your direction and walking in the laws of the precepts of God. You have to subdue your flesh, your mind, and your emotions, and take your will and make your body serve God. Colossians 3, what it says. Mortify, which means to put to death, which would be in conjunction to what Jesus said, if any man, anyone wants to follow after me and be my disciple, they must deny themselves. That is the word suke, their mind, their will, and their emotions. Take up their cross, that has to do with a person dying physically. That's what would happen. That has to do with physicality, your flesh, okay? And follow me, not an institution, organization, not a denomination, not an ism or a schism, but follow Jesus Christ. Mortify, crucify your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. That's what you've got to do. Okay. Now, I would suggest there's some messages I listen of pastors, and I've listened to those messages so many times I cannot forget. I forget so many times. Why? Because like I told you yesterday, from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he said, pay attention, take heed, pay attention to what you've learned, lest you let them slip. And then he says, the angels that slipped are now being held in chains forever. Well, that's not a good thing. And he's using that in conjunction to us. He says, hey, take heed, which means pay attention, okay? Pay attention to what you've learned, lest you let them slip at any time. And slipping and backsliding, slipping and sliding are the same thing. How do you think you backslide? You let go what you know. You quit abiding. You think I'm mature Now, I already know that. I don't need to meditate on it and do it. Listen, if you're not doing the word of God, you're unwise. Because wisdom is about application, not information. It's what you do with what you know is wisdom. Okay? That's what wisdom is. All right? Am I making that up? Let's see. Jesus, Matthew 7, verse 24, the man that hears what I say, Jesus said this, the man that hears what I say and does what I say, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock, and the winds came, and the rain came, but the house was not knocked over because it was built on a rock. Then he said, okay, so that's Matthew 24 and 25, then 26 and 27, and he said, but he that heareth my words and doesn't do them, I liken him to a foolish man that built his house on sand, and the winds and the rain came, and his house did not stand. So you're foolish if you do not what God said, do what God said. James chapter 1, verse 22, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. All right. You guys getting this? I know you are. Lord bless you all. John, welcome here. Amen. Tom, good to see you, bro. Amen. Good to see you, brother. Amen. Margie, God bless you. Sword of the Lord. I saw a vision of reflection. The reflection was of a window behind me. It was hindsight reflecting back. Oh, I get you. Yeah. Hey, good there. We should not do that. Amen. Johnny. Good morning, Johnny. Amen. So God bless you all that are out there. I can't see everybody there. Viviana, Timothy, good to see you, Timothy. God bless you, brother. Amen. You welcome you all here. All right. If this is your first time being here, please do subscribe and like the video as well, because if you make comments when the video comes up, it takes 24 hours once I do a live stream for the video to be posted. That's how these work. Okay. So subscribe. When you do subscribe, hit the top button. If you didn't hit the top button, unsubscribe and rescribe. Hit the top button. Okay. That way you'll be notified every time I go live. You could also join my website and I can send you a alert from my website. Also, if you want to listen to these messages later and you don't have the capacity to do that, you can use download the messages on the iPod, which is also in the description, and you can listen to the messages while you're going on a trip or while you're working. You can actually download them. So if you're in a place where there's no signal, you can just download the message because we're on an iPod. I did put a condensed prophetic word on my iPod here recently that I could not. Somebody's having a problem. Well, that wasn't me. Anyways, so, well, I think the sound thing blocked it out anyways. But anyways, praise the Lord. So what I'm saying is I put a prophetic word on my iPod channel that was not as clear on this program. So if you want to hear the prophetic word that I put out, which is not on YouTube because it would be in violation of YouTube, you can go to my iPod channel. In fact, you can go to the comment area, a community area. You can go to the community area on this channel and go in there to my iPod channel and subscribe. So subscribe to my iPod channel. And that way you can listen to the videos offline, and you can download them. And so go do that as well. So, but also please do like them and make a comment, because it helps us to get past the algorithms. So we're very happy to see you here, and we appreciate you. And I know that word is going to set you free. And Jesus said, if you abide in my word and my word abides in you, then you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. So as we are intimate, that word know there is to be intimate, as we're intimate with the truth. That means we're not just hearing, but we let the truth penetrate our heart and we do what it says. Jesus tells us that the way to get free is to hear, receive, and then to do. Okay, so there's a hearing and there's a doing that brings freedom. Not just a hearing, but a doing. And that's proven in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Now people, they know what sanctification is, but they don't know how to do it. So it's almost like esoteric. It's almost elusive. It's almost a mystery or mystical. But it mystifies people. But let's make it clear that chapter 1 of Peter, verse 22, he says this, knowing, have this revelation, that you purified your soul, that your mind, will, and your emotions, by obeying the truth. That's what it says. That's what it means. Doesn't say by going to a deliverance ministry. It doesn't say by getting prayer for inner healing. That's nonsense. Okay. Understand, some people have had prayer and felt better afterwards. That is not normative of Christianity, because like I said, Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. He never mentioned inner healing or deliverance. Why? Because the normal way of walking in victory is that you walk in the truth, that you submit yourself to God and you resist the devil and he will flee. The devil's he's a liar. Remember, Jesus said the devil is a liar, and the devil tells people, I'm not going to flee. You're different. You're not going to experience that. And he lies. But the truth is, if you stay resisting the devil, he will flee. Okay. Don't listen to your body. Your body's a liar. Your body's a liar. Don't listen to your body. Don't be body led, be spirit led. Say, no, listen, body, you listen to me. And I guarantee you that the devil will flee. I know this because I experienced this. Okay. So I know it not because it's a theology or a theory. I've been attacked to the devil and just stood my ground and he takes off. And then I've been attacked to the devil and I just stood my ground and then he takes off. And it's like, boom, it's quiet, it's peaceful. It's like, what happened? Oh, the devil's either attacking, planning, or fleeing. And why did he leave? Because he's like, hey, this guy's not going to give in. We got to go and figure something else out. So I'm not talking by, like many pastors are just talking by theory. I'm talking by experience. I know that if you repent and return to God, the Lord will, you will get free over sin. I know that if you continue a lifestyle of submitting yourself to God and resisting the devil, he will flee. So this is not a theory or a theorem. I might have used that word wrong before, but it's not a theory or theorem. I need more coffee. But this is a way to do it. It's a formula. I actually think I used the word theory here wrong before. But it is a formula for victory, okay? Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. That is a fact, okay? That is not a theorem. Pardon me. Let me articulate that and preface that. And it is not a theory or recipe. Okay. It is a fact. It's not just some ethereal thing is what I mean to say. It's real, it's reality, it's tangible. I'm doing this right now and I have victory. So I'm talking from victory. I'm not talking from survival and fighting. I'm talking from thriving and reigning. That's what I'm talking from. So I'm not talking from survival and fighting. I'm talking from thriving and reigning. Doesn't mean that I still don't have to resist the devil. Yes, I do. It doesn't mean I don't have to mortify the flesh. Yes, I do. But I'm not in constant spiritual warfare. And I'm not in constant battle with my flesh. Because you train your flesh after a while. But it doesn't mean that the flesh is an unruly thing. So even though you train it, it will still try to get authority over you. So you're going to have to deal with it. There will be a certain friction in this world always, because it's a fallen world we live in and it's not perfect and your body never will get saved. You can train it. But just because you train it, don't think that at some times it's not going to try to rise up. It will. But when you give into the flesh, it has a lot of power and it takes a while before it loses its power by you staying strong in the Lord. Then you will feel that the flesh will lose its grip on you where it has a lot of power over you. You'll still be aware of the flesh, And you'll still have to resist the flesh, but it will not have the power that it has had after a person comes out of a vice or an addiction. You will literally experience this. I'm talking from experience, not from something I read or a theory, but from practical life experience. This will happen if you do this. That's why this message is so important for you to hear. And that's why this message, you ought to probably download it on the iPod app. Okay. Right. So you can listen to it over and over again. And when do you stop listening to it? Never. Not until Jesus comes. Because this is the truth that's going to get you to victory. And if you want it, then you're going to apply it. If you want to not take responsibility for your life, then don't download it. I'm telling you, this is one of the most important messages I've ever preached because I've made it clear and concise how to live in victory. Life is not random. The spiritual life is not, healing is not random. If you're going to get healed, you're going to have to apply principles for it. If you're going to walk in the spirit, you're going to have to do what I'm saying here. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are life and they are spirit. They're spirit. Spirit and truth is actually what he said, spirit and truth. So if you walk in the word, you walk in the spirit, you got to do it. You do. The Bible says those who are led by the spirit. What does that mean? Led. Led means you're following. You're the one doing it. God's not going to do for it. You have to follow what the Bible says. You have to follow what the spirit says. Spirit says don't lie, then don't lie. The spirit says don't boast, then don't boast. The spirit says don't have the big head, then don't have the big head. You have to do that through your will. Your will manifests actions, and that makes them the work of the flesh. Okay? God bless you. Amen. So I'm going to get off. I've got to take my wife to the doctor. And so God bless you. Amen. So please write this stuff down. Amen. And if you haven't done it, please do. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. And I just want to say I appreciate all of you. I have... people that support this ministry, some people have coveted with this. They made a covenant with us, okay? And we could not do what we're doing here without you. This is a nonprofit ministry, so I appreciate every one of you. Don't think that one of you are not crucial. You're all crucial. I mean, you make it possible. Amen. And I appreciate you. Amen. So we thank God that he's provided, but we're meeting different bills and visions all the time. And so we thank God. Like I said, this is a nonprofit. It's not a charity, but I will say this, that out of the funds that come into this ministry, I've looked at what charities give, and I give more to what I do than charities do. In other words, I do charitable work, which is ministry work, right? And I'm getting groceries for people, getting gas money for people, putting people up in hotels, helping them to pay, you know, their rent, things like that. I do stuff like that through this ministry. And as a ministry, okay, feeding the poor, this kind of stuff, as a ministry, we do more than charities do, though I'm not even a charity. Okay, so because we do more, and we appreciate those who do give. It helps, takes off the burden, and makes it easier for us to do. So we appreciate all those who've covenanted with this ministry. And if you want to give, go into the description area. All the information is there. The routing number's there. We have a PO box. We are a 513 ministry. So anyways, I'm just saying that because I realize that, you know, I want to say thank you to people because I really do appreciate it. And you guys encourage me, and all of you who encourage me, you encourage me by prayer. You encourage me when you send me a prophetic word. You encourage me by being faithful to this ministry. And I couldn't do this ministry without you people that are faithful. I literally couldn't. That's not figurative. That's not hyperbole. It's a fact. I could not do what I'm doing if people were not following this program. So I thank all of you, and I really do appreciate you for your faithfulness in this ministry. This is Pastor John. Shalom.